home. 1 year later. The room smelled like fresh paint and the lilacs Mom had set on Ivy's brand new desk underneath the tiny circular window. The ceiling was slanted, with dark wood beams cutting through the white. Ivy stood in the doorway and smiled. "What do you think, Ives?" Layla asked. She scooted around Ivy and dropped a box labeled Ivy's winter clothes onto a twin bed covered in a quilt decorated to look like splattered paint. Mom was right behind her, Aaron in her arms. Mom set him down, and he toddled over to the bed, grabbing the quilt and then cruising around to the footboard.
"It's perfect,"
Ivy said. And it was. Her little attic room, all her own again.
"This room is seriously cool," Layla said, walking around. "You have to let me crash here sometime."
She ran her hand over the exposed brick wall. During the rebuild, Dad wanted to include pieces of the house they'd lost, so he insisted on using all the intact bricks he'd managed to save when they cleared the rubble. Now every room had part of their old life in it, part of their family history.
"No way! This room is mine," Ivy said. Layla pulled her into a headlock and dug her knuckles into Ivy's hair. "Ow! Quit it!"
Mom just smiled and wiped her eyes. She'd been pretty teary this whole week while they were moving stuff into the new house. It had been a tough year. But there had been a lot of good stuff, too. They lived in Jasper's mom's guest house for a while, but then finally rented a bigger apartment just outside of town. Still, none of it was home. They belonged here. The walls might be new, but it felt the same. It felt like home. Mom pulled Layla and Ivy to her and kissed the tops of both of their heads. They wrapped their arms around her back, and Ivy's fingers tangled with Layla's. Aaron got curious and waddled over to them, yanking on the leg of Ivy's jeans. Downstairs, Dad was unpacking the kitchen, plates and glasses clinking together. Ivy heard Evan babbling from where she knew he was set up in his high chair, stuffing his face with Cheerios.
They were all here. They made it, and they did it together.
Still, Ivy couldn't help but glance at her bed, her messenger bag resting on her pillow. Her fingers itched and tingled.
"Okay, Layla, time to let Ivy get settled,"
Mom said, reading Ivy's mind. "You're still meeting June and Taryn at the ice rink, Ivy?"
"Yeah, in about an hour,"
Ivy said.
"June is totally obsessed with learning a sit spin."
Mom laughed.
"That is one busy girl. What was it last month, swing dancing?"
"Square dancing. I never want to hear a mandolin again."
Mom and Layla both laughed, and Ivy joined in. In the past year, June had dragged Ivy and Taryn through a myriad of activities, everything from synchronized swimming to knitting classes at the rec center. Last summer, when Ivy decided she really did want to go to soccer camp with Taryn, June went with them.
"We'll leave you alone until then," Mom said.
She smoothed her fingers down the braid she had plaited into Ivy's hair that morning and winked.
"Ugh, fine, go hermit away in your little notebook world," Layla said.
But Ivy knew she was kidding. Layla smacked a kiss on Ivy's cheek, and Mom swooped Aaron into her arms, and then Ivy was alone. She looked around her new room. Late spring sunlight streamed in through the window by her bed, covering everything in a citrusy glow. She plopped down on the mattress and unpacked her messenger bag. She placed both her purple and yellow notebooks on the bedside table. They were full, the pages covered in drawings of Ivy and girls she didn't know. Girls she did. Friends and treehouses and oceans. Baby brothers and sisters and dreams. But she still liked to keep them close. Digging around in her bag, she found a brand new notebook. This one was green and white, flowers swirling over the cover. On its first pages were the beginnings of a comic, the pages divided into squares and rectangles. The story was about a lonely girl named Ivy, whose house got destroyed by a tornado. It was about how she and her family sort of fell apart, but came back together again. It was about a girl who was figuring out that she got crushes on girls instead of boys,
who was figuring out how to love her friends and how to let her friends love her. How to love herself. When Ivy told her about the idea, Mom had called it a graphic memoir. Ivy just called it a letter to the world. This has been a Hachette audio production of Ivy Aberdeen's Letter to the World, written by Ashley Herring Blake, read by Chloe Cannon, produced and directed by Lisa Kahn, recorded by Steve Wagner at Prose Garden Productions, post-production by A1 Sound Studio. Ivy Aberdeen's Letter to the World is also available in print and digital formats from Little Brown & Company, a division of Hachette Book Group. For more Hachette audio productions, visit us at hachetteaudio.com. Thank you for listening. Text copyright 2018, Ashley Herring Blake. Audio production copyright 2018, Hachette Audio, all rights reserved. Hachette Book Group supports the right to free expression and the value of copyright. The purpose of copyright is to encourage writers and artists to produce the creative works that enrich our culture. The duplicating, uploading, and distribution of this audiobook without permission is a theft of the author's intellectual property. If you would like permission to use material from the audiobook, other than for review purposes, please contact permissions@hbgusa.com. Thank you for your support of the author's rights. This audiobook is a work of fiction. Names, characters, places, and incidents are either the product of the author's imagination or are used fictitiously, and any resemblance to actual persons, living or dead, events or locales is entirely coincidental.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.